your roses in bloom. A light hits the gloom on the gray.
God damn it. And that's how we're kicking off this week's episode. Hello, everyone. We are back with Roses and Brosifs, Bachelor in Paradise Coverage Edition. It is Season 6, Week 3, Episode 5 and 6, and we have the girls choosing this time. So I'm excited to see some guys go home. And in Bachelor news, Chad Johnson went on a Twitter rampage. I actually forgot who that was.
Who's Chad Johnson?
Exactly. That's what I said. And I've been watching this show long enough that I probably should know who he is. So congrats, Chad. You played yourself. Rachel and Brian are planning their wedding. And in unrelated news, I think someone else might be in the running for The Bachelor instead of Mike.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, we'll find out who that is. So stay tuned. And yeah, we'll get right into the episode. So the intro plays, the cheesy intro. They've updated it with the few new people who've come in.
Still cheesy 90s font and music.
Yes. Whose is your favorite? Mine is still Grandpa Bukowski's.
Yeah, that is easily the best one.
That one just makes me giggle every single time.
Yeah, I'm glad he's leaning into it.
Me too. That's the only one I like. So we just keep forgetting that Kevin is here. And this happened on Hannah's season two. Like, he didn't even kiss Hannah once. And he somehow made it to, like, out of the country dates. So he's kind of falling into the background here again. And we start off by rehashing the awesome wrestling match between Jordan and Christian on the beach.
Yeah.
What we don't see last week is that Jordan actually hip tosses Christian over the stairs of like a little beach villa, and it looked pretty painful. I thought it was just straight under the ground, but it was like down some stairs.
Yeah.
That was some intense shit. I didn't know Jordan had that in him.
That was a pretty good move.
It was really good. It deserved
he threw him.
Deserved all the takedown points possible.
Oh, yeah. He threw him.
He threw him.
Like a rag doll.
So Christian gets away from the producers who also know how to wrestle. Like, these dudes are just coming in and just, like, dipping low and, like, grabbing his legs left and right. Because apparently he's a soccer player. So I don't know if that left him enough time to realize that fighting is not all punching and kicking. But, yeah, he's getting manhandled by these bodyguards.
Yeah.
So they're separated officially. And then Kristen dives in after Jordan, and then multiple guards have to pin him down in the sand, and they're like arguing in Spanish.
He's flipping shit
because he can't fight and he feels embarrassed, and he should feel more embarrassed by his outfit. And he's probably like $100 says he got in the car and was like, fuck, my Gucci shoes are ruined. So everyone on the beach just gets solid free entertainment. And some people are freaking out a little too much.
Yeah.
Like, there was no bloodshed, guys. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
People fight. It's okay. So Onyeka, oddly enough, consoles Nicole, even though they had total beef on Colton's season. Like, the only reason either of them were even kept around for another week is because they had stupid drama. But anyway, they've made up. So Onyeka is consoling Nicole when Nicole should just be having a good ass time, regardless of what these men are doing.
Yeah.
Nicole thinks that Jordan and Christian were fighting over her when they were definitely not.
Yeah,
like, Jordan was analyzing the situation on behalf of Clay.
What does that mean?
So he was interjecting himself with his unsolicited advice and offering terrible criticism in return.
Yeah, I forgot about her, actually.
I'm so glad you did. That's so good for you. Ugh, I need to. So Clay actually walked away like a man would from that little squabble. And then they bring Clay Harrison. They bring Chris Harrison out of his cryogenic freezer to come ameliorate the chaos. And none of us actually know what's going to happen now, because there are very, very rarely fights on the show like this, aside from what happened with Luke on Hannah's season. But that was different because they were like on an athletic field, and it's just different. So yeah, everyone is freaking out on the beach.
Yeah. Chris Harrison comes in like with the attitude of, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Yeah.
You disappoint me. So Jordan is sat down with Chris Harrison to make sure that his antics dissolve. Because as you can see, Jordan stops throwing out the one-liners when Chris is there.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is like the baking soda of the show.
Neutralizing.
When he's not stirring the pot, he's also the baking soda, which I don't freaking get. So Jordan has to be removed from the show. So I was right. Jordan and Christian are actually going home, but not even because of anything like a romantic failure. It's because they got into a dumb fights over a girl that they were not mutually super into. Jordan just thought Clay was being a wuss.
Yeah, it's like he's like, I'll go do it for you. Like the dumb friend that like does something stupid, even though you're like, don't do that.
Don't do that.
And so they still do it.
They still do it. And everyone bonds over their night being ruined, basically. We see Chris and Katie. We're cool with them as a couple. Like, they seem to balance each other out for reasons the show doesn't get into much.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it worked. I was like, when I saw them just like hooking up, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that works.
That's all right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cute. I dig it.
Yeah.
Chris Harrison shows up in a really nice linen shirt, and he is smart for wearing that in that heat.
Climate.
Because damn. So Chris reiterates that this show is about a second chance at love and not beach WWE, guys.
Mm-hmm.
As if
but these it'd be fun if it was.
20-something-year-olds will not find love in their lifetime. And by the way, I'm a 20-something year old, but I also didn't believe my life was over when I was single at 23. So, like, let's get that super clear. Yeah. So he lets everyone know Jordan and Christian have been sent home. Nicole is, for some reason, convinced that it was because of her.
Just the ego.
Her ego is so misplaced. It's really bad. Clay swoops back in, and Nicole just kind of falls right back where she was before because
the default
2 out of 3 of her options are now gone immediately. So, you know what's fucked up is like when Clay wanted to speak to her, she acted like she didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
that was just last week.
She was just like, "Oh,
I don't know, I don't know,
and
I don't,
Christian
I can't, I don't." shut the fuck up! I swear. Okay, so Nicole starts apologizing as if she didn't do that to him. And then, he just forgives her. So Cam sits down with Onyeka after the commercial and tries his desperate plea at her. And oh my gosh, she realizes in this moment, oh my God, I'm so low on this show's dating totem pole that Cam thinks I will give him my rose. Holy cow. Gross. Like, she's having this crisis unfold in her brain at that moment. And Hannah, instead, on the opposite end, is having a sense of entitlement where she feels like she can toy with her multivitamin boys.
Yeah, she literally called them multivitamins. And
this was disgusting behavior.
Horrible.
And you guys would vilify it if it were a man talking about women like that, saying, oh, yeah, a little bit of Monica. No, I'm just kidding. But if, like, somebody was doing, you know, that exact thing, and they're a guy, you'd be perturbed by it. So,
yeah, that means you're a sociopath.
Yes. Well, okay. I know it's the format of the show, but the bragginess and the fact that it's, I don't know, maybe 3 of them, just but it's a game. And just to toy with all of them, and you know what? I can't spoil too much because we'll talk about how the rose ceremony goes too.
Right.
Dylan pulls her aside, and he has sour gummy worms for her, and a blanket, and a picnic, which is pretty cute. Then Blake pulls Hannah aside to dance and to some mariachi music, and I was like, why do I hear Los Corazones all of a sudden? That was the coolest thing on the show this whole episode, other than JPJ and Tayshia, which we'll get into later. Those were my top 2.
Yeah.
Hannah straddles Blake in the middle of the beach, then makes out with him on the bed, and the castmates all agree in unison, like, yo, that's kind of not cool.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. Just be more sly about it, you know?
No, she doesn't have to be.
I guess, whatever.
She's so like quote unquote oblivious that mm-hmm. like she
which
finds Tayshia something wrong
calls
with it.
Out very rightfully. Tayshia's like, Hannah knows what she's doing, guys. Don't pretend you're dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She calls that shit out.
At this point in the episode, we have not seen Demi, Christina, Derek, Wills, Mike, JPJ, Kevin, or Sydney. Well, obviously, we haven't seen Wills because he went home, or Kevin. But we haven't seen a lot of people at this point because all of the drama has been focused on Dylan, Hannah, Blake, and the Jordan and Christian thing, which involved Nicole. So, like, everyone else kind of just gets pushed to the side. Dylan is absolutely breaking down before we get to this commercial break.
Yeah.
Why is he so attached? I don't get it.
He's just a clingy type of person. Like, man, it's really bad.
Yeah.
He has all these, he exhibits all these symptoms of just somebody that just like would cling on to like a pretty girl's giving him attention.
When we come back, there is a rose ceremony and Sydney reminds us that everyone is over the love triangle. Cam thinks that Onyeka will be foolish enough to give him her rose after trying to convince her Mike is not into her, which
yeah,
was pretty
he's
mean.
He's trying to sabotage Mike mm-hmm. just so that like he'd be like, I'm your only option.
Yeah.
So.
That's so rude.
It's fucking manipulative.
So I'm glad that Onyeka does the what she does next. She interrupts Chris to take the podium and she says that she cannot give a rose to anyone tonight, and the camera immediately pans to Cam who is wide-eyed and like terrified. So Chris gives her a chance to say goodbyes and the rose ceremony goes on pretty much unaffected.
I love how Cam's plan completely backfired on him.
Yes. Onyeka has a dismal outlook on life after dealing with Cam and her chances with men now after this. And I'm like, it's not like you're going to a confinement center and you're not going to be around men after the show.
In fact, you probably have a better relationship not on camera with somebody.
Hopefully. Jeez, these people. Some of them are just obsessed with it. Fair. So Chris moves on right away and is like, now there are 8 women. The 3 dudes will be leaving Paradise. So as I said earlier, it was Jordan and Christian automatically. And we find out that Demi picks Derek, Katie picks Chris, Nicole picks Clay, Kaylin picks Dean, Tayshia picks John Paul Jones. He says, yes, queen.
Yep.
She kind of like writes a little poem thing for him. They are so cute. Yeah. They're the only couple I like on this show. Other than the crabs on the beach. They're cute too. And there's Sydney and Mike. So Kevin makes a comment. He's like, I would still love to pursue Sydney or Christina or even Kaylin or Mike. JK about Mike. But yeah, he just lists a bunch of names as if like, all those people are just second choice pizza toppings. Hannah picks Dylan. Shocker. Blake certainly looks shocked, but he shouldn't. Christina laughs out loud. Hannah thanks Dylan for being her Bed Bath & Beyond doormat.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even brush off that doormat. That doormat has been laying on that ground, just receiving muddy boots and everything else for years.
What about a shower mat? Because he's very soft.
That's really good. Yes, he's a shower mat. Christina picks Blake because staying power, and she gives him the pity pick and makes it clear she does not want love with him as she friend hugs it out with him. So everyone is pissed. They're like, dude, where are we keeping him?
Yeah.
They start playing some like Detective Gadget music, and then, you know, as Kevin, Cam, Wills, Jordan, and Christian have been sent home at this point. I'm not surprised by any of those. They're all salty and they're all lonely. And Kevin did all of that intermittent fasting for just nothing.
Got all swole for nothing.
He's going to cram a Snickers bar when he gets one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know if he tried or not, because the show certainly didn't show any of that.
He just thought that his body would do it for him, when really, like, honestly, some women couldn't give two shits about that.
Yeah. We've seen that with Chris. No, actually, Chris looks pretty decent.
That's true. So, yeah, Christina's just playing a round of torture, just a round of Russian roulette with Blake.
She's in the long haul for, like, the 4D chess type fucking game where she's going to, like, torture him.
She's doing this on purpose. It's kind of great. Oh, yeah.
There's some long game behind it. I know it, because, like...
It's hilarious. I don't think she could even care less about finding someone on the show. She's like, fuck this guy.
Yeah. She's... it's like... You crossed the wrong woman. Yes. And now she's like going to do this long, humiliating thing to him, probably on like television even longer.
Yes. At some point, we pan to all the kiddos sitting in a group chatting, and Dylan says he has never seen The Karate Kid. And Chris Bukowski makes it a point to say, well, that was before you were born.
Yeah.
Which I'm actually not sure if it was at this point, because I hope I'm older than Dylan. Oh, my God. So Blake is all alone, and the camera just lingers on him for a long time. Like, he's just laying on this bed under the skylight, just like,
yeah.
Will my time end on this show? And then John Paul Jones remind us that Blake has literally exhausted all of his options.
Yeah.
Demi compliments Derek's booty, then likens Blake to a turd that won't flush, who needs to start a new life. And I'm like, does he need to flush himself, or does he need to start a new life? Which one?
Yeah.
So
that was, yeah, she doesn't, I mean, I like her attitude, but she sometimes, the things don't really quite connect.
She tries.
Dylan
hangs on to Hannah like a spider monkey while Blake mopes.
Yeah.
We also noticed it. She was supporting him in the pool, and it was really funny later.
It was very weird. There's a brief moment where you see Dylan clinging on her like a fucking koala bear.
It was memed, like, by
in
the way.
In the pool, really?
Oh, yeah. Already memed. The internet's so quick with this shit.
Okay, well, I mean, like, because this is a quick little shot of it. It wasn't...
That was all they need. That was all we needed.
Yeah, it's true.
We somehow, it was hilarious.
That was very interesting.
It was very telling of their relationship. And Hannah's tiny, too. So, I mean, in water, it doesn't matter. But still, he's just like, let me hang on to you.
Yeah.
I'm your koala baby. I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Yeah.
I'm creeping you guys out. So an unknown woman comes on the beach, and we find out her name is Caitlin. She is apparently from Colton's season of The Bachelor. I guess she went home night one, because I don't remember her at all. And I watched all of that season begrudgingly. So I just noticed the producers were petty enough to put all of Chris's season, like his whole resume, on his name thing. If they've been doing this before. Well, I type. The problem is I type so much. Like, I'm taking notes. So I kind of miss the name tags, because I already know their names. So I'm not looking at them. But yeah, it took me till now to notice that. I thought that shit was really funny. So Sydney does the new person smells good thing. And I explained to Wyatt, like, yes, they're showering there, but whoever comes in is usually fresh out of a car and has, like, just done their makeup and hasn't had enough time to start sweating yet. But everyone's been, like, kind of hanging out all day and drinking, doing who knows what. And in comparison, they will inevitably stink. So you'll notice a lot when someone comes in, they're like, oh, my God, you smell so good. And, I think that's a funny phenomenon about the show when they bring in somebody.
Mm. What if they smell like bacon?
That would be awesome. I would love if someone came in smelling like bacon.
Yeah.
I think that was so nice. So the guys start turning Caitlin down one by one. And yeah, like, it definitely sucks to come in this late, especially being, like, unknown. And Dylan is so desperate. But he also makes a good joke. He's like, well, fortunately, she didn't go to Stagecoach, about Caitlin. And I think we end up finding out that she did.
Yeah.
they did meet at Stagecoach, but they didn't, quote unquote, do anything. Unlike the other four people.
I think it was like passing by or something.
Mm-hmm. Passing by. So they go on the date together, of course. And we get back while they're about to go. after the commercial, and we get sound bites of Blake talking about how he wishes he could have a future with Hannah. So that's great.
Yeah, he's still all mopey as hell.
They're going on a tantric yoga date for the first date.
It was awkward. It was like they were not digging this as their first date. They're just like, okay.
No, especially if neither of them have done partner yoga in general. Like, that for the first time is always awkward. Like, whether it's with a friend or just whatever. So,
yeah,
I get that a C-. The producers are really trying to force the sexual chemistry thing off the bat. It's super weird. And when we cut back to the beach, the guys are chit-chatting on the girly throw pillow princess daybed.
Mm-hmm.
They just need some face masks and some opera glasses.
Cups of tea.
Cups of tea. You know what? Mike kind of looks like he could be Tyler, the Creator's brother. I just realized that.
I guess.
I don't mean that. Like, Tyler, they kind of look alike. Tyler just doesn't have any facial hair.
Yeah.
I'll do a side-by-side.
Yeah.
Okay. So Caitlin realizes, oh, I'm going to have to hear Blake talk about other women. Great. When we get back to their date, because Blake is like, okay, let me tell you what's going on. And he just goes on a spiel about everything except conveniently Kaylin and Christina. So
yeah, back to back.
Yeah, he leaves that out completely. So yeah, he's on a date with someone whose name is basically Kaylin and Christina's name combined or close. But Sydney found a date card in the men's bathroom trash can, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes back in to give it to Dylan, who, of course, gives his date card to Hannah. This is so boring. So Hannah does the incoming kiss turn so that it gets on her cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan does not pick up on this at all. He doesn't know what a red flag is. And I think at this point, he's so into it that he would rather her just be like, Dylan, literally get away from me. Then just like accept a red flag. Like, he's gonna ride this out for as long as he humanly can.
Yeah,
it gets sad.
A bit attached fast.
Oh yeah. So Hannah is just excited to say, wanderlust and jet set and travel in Mexico on her little snippet photo from whatever date they take. I don't think she wants to date him. I think she just wants to go out in Mexico, which is fine too. I mean, Mexico's nice. So Blake is actually waiting for Hannah to come back from her date so he can home wreck again. And then some Aztec warrior dancers, quote unquote, come out, and then the date just kind of ends there from our view. So
they just do a dance. Yeah.
They just do a dance. Yeah. And they're like, what's going on? And it's a lot of them too.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. Just like,
it was like four squads of them.
Squatted up. Damn. So we get a drunk recap of Chris Bukowski before he talks to Katie. And it was actually really funny.
Yeah.
And then we finally get to see some of why they have a connection. They're just both whatever they are together. And it works for them.
I mean, I you know what? I can't really explain how it works for them. But then
exactly.
they seem to be just hanging out and being like, yeah, this is pretty fun. And like,
that was so vague. I'm like, what? You know what? There's something. But I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but like when you see them and they're just like smiling and hanging out, it's like, that's nice. It's like they look good together. I don't know why, but they do.
He's the most everyday guy out of all of the men. I think he's like a bar owner, but he owns a few bars. So that's definitely like the most relatable position other than fucking influencer, which is what most of these guys are just doing now. So,
okay.
Yeah. We learned that John Paul Jones had almost met someone who was the one, and he's very self-aware of his goofy eccentricness. He tells this to Tayshia after he pulls her aside and admits that she's the most attractive woman he's ever pursued romantically. And I mean, she's super pretty. Like, he's probably right. I don't know. So he's known that he is ready to settle down, and he's looking forward to spending more time with Tayshia. And literally nobody could have predicted. Sorry, I said literally a lot. No one could have predicted this pairing, but it is super adorable. And
it's rather cute. I like it.
I like it too. I'm down for it.
I'm all for it. You got Tayshia, the soothsayer, and you got John Paul Jones, the wild man who eats like 12 burritos and takes like 12 naps.
And his taco, yeah, he's eating Mexican food and just taking naps and finding love. It's just great.
It's pretty awesome.
JPJ is the only man on this beach who can tell a woman she makes him almost pee himself, and it still works for him.
Yeah. Somehow, like, he says that. He's like, I was so nervous talking, I almost peed myself. And she's like, you almost peed yourself? He's like, almost.
So funny.
And it worked. I don't know why.
Tayshia's like, well, if you liked me, why didn't you talk to me earlier? And he's like, I was starving and I ate a bunch of tacos and I wanted to take a nap. Like, his Seth Rogen laugh. Yeah. And I was like, that's very relatable, because I would probably, if you and I were on this show and I wanted to talk to you, the only reason I'd be delayed is because of tacos and a nap. So I feel that. JP,
be hard to argue.
JPJ is super smitten with Tayshia, and he says he's starting to fall in love with... Did he say he was starting to fall in love with her?
I don't know. I don't remember him saying that.
It was... I don't know. It's pretty early to be feeling feelings, but whatever. They're cute. So we get back to Demi. She's conflicted. And then just a side note, whoever is capturing the B-roll of all these crabs on the beach is just a fucking artisan.
Yeah. They used to work for National Geographic.
They had to have, because the crab footage, just the personality of these crabs, really just, they are the stars of this show.
Yeah, they kept shooting, like showing shots of them, different locations and everything.
Because they're literally everywhere. The castmates actually have to avoid getting bitten by them in their little villa they're staying in. Yeah, so it's not all glamour there. There's no AC and they're avoiding crabs and scorpions. So just, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. But it is beautiful, though. So the ever famous words, I don't think anyone is walking down those stairs, are said by somebody. And of course, who walks in other than Hannah B? And I'm like, oh, my God, we have to go back to using the last name.
Mike pees himself a little bit.
Mike pees himself. We have to use the last name first letter for these Hannahs again. So everyone is shocked and confused, but of course they recognize her, even probably the bachelor people she hasn't met yet. And then Hannah has this awkward exchange with John Paul Jones. She's like, I miss you, bro. And he's like,
yeah, he's kind of nervous about me. He's like, oh, right. Like,
yeah, I've totally been John Paul in that situation where you're like, oh, let me make it very obvious that I don't know or care what you mean by that. So Hannah B pulls Demi aside, and Hannah B really wanted to fly all the way to Mexico to see how her friend Demi has been doing supposedly, as if she couldn't just call.
Right.
Okay, so,
well, they don't have any phones.
The producers have phones.
Okay,
so yeah, it was pretty selfish. Sorry.
You said this is during the time that she is still engaged.
This is during the time she's still engaged. So her show's over. Like, why are you on this one? I don't get it. So Hannah says in her experience that she has had a jealous ex who is not understanding like Derek is. And I wonder who named Luke P. that could be.
Her true love.
Her true... I hope we see them together.
Yes.
No, yes. You do. I don't.
I do.
Also, go Tyler and Gigi. I hope that they end up happy and they get married and they get a bunch of golden doodles. Anyway, Derek, Hannah says in her experience that her ex has not been understanding like Derek, and Demi does not know who to choose between, especially the two of them, because they're both different and amazing to her for unique reasons. And we know from the history of the show that a few people do come in with pre-existing relationships, but I'm wondering why this is treated like it's not a big deal, because like Jed and Peter and Scott and all these other people who've been called out, it's like, wait, Is maybe it's only different because it's Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah.
That's not the only reason. Okay, so I'm not going to disagree with the show for this, but I think because of the nature of the relationship, they want to get this into the show format as soon as possible. Not only drama, but we've never had a same-sex kiss on the show. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, ever. Like, that last night was, like, a first for the show.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I respect them for including it. It just felt rushed because I knew that they weren't going to do that during, like, a full Bachelor or Bachelorette season. I know that's not going to happen for a while. So I think we all kind of have to take this as a small win for ABC Network and just...
Yeah, they're probably posturing, but I mean, like, that's not necessary, but okay.
It's not necessary.
I have no problem with it, but...
But it's better than laying down, so at least they're trying.
Okay.
So Demi pulls Derek aside, and everyone is just observing from a distance. Demi tells Derek she wants to be honest with him about the girl back home and how she is thinking about her, and she has feelings for the both of them. She is trying to figure it out, but now she's really torn. So Derek says it's hard to hear. He really likes her. He says it's okay to not know how she feels. He says he wants her in his life. They kiss, and I'm like, did they break up or did they break up?
I don't know. I mean.
So to get back to what I said earlier about not thinking Mike is going to be the Bachelor, I think they're going to make it Derek.
That's a good prediction because, I mean, during this whole entire time, they were, like, great.
They're grooming all of his edits to make him seem perfect, So they want us to see that turmoil, even if it's going to let us know something's coming. But I think that edit's being done. I think they're going to make him the Bachelor instead of Mike because they've done it to guys who have been on Paradise before. They've done it to guys who have been on Paradise more than once, like Nick. And Nick is actually one of the good people from the franchise. He keeps it super real and doesn't play into all the drama and politics that these new people do. So I think it's going to be Derek. That's my vote.
Okay. Good vote.
Thank you. I really, if it's Peter, y'all, I'm not. No. So what is going on? We will find out after this short break what's happening with Derek and Demi. It is the end of night one, and again we have a recap of who goes home. Jordan, Christian, Wills, Cam, and Kevin are no longer on the beach. Okay.
Thank God.
Thank God. So bye, guys.
I'm glad Cam's off that show.
I'm so glad Cam, especially Cam. So we started off episode 2 of this week, which was Tuesday, with a debrief of what is going on. We get back to Chris and Demi talking about Demi's feelings. She's just scared of what will people will think about her because she's into women. I think she needs to care more about what she thinks, but at the same time, I've never been in that situation, and I can't understand what it's like to have to declare my sexuality because our society's set up to where straight people, we don't go through that obstacle. So we don't have a challenge like that. So
it's a majority norm.
It's a majority norm. So I think observing this challenge is interesting for a lot of us who are like, well, why don't you just like the person? Because I want her to like who she likes, but I can see that it's hard for her to like do it so publicly all at once. I don't think she had even told her family like before the show. Well, I think she sat them down, but like,
yeah,
it was a long time in her life where she hadn't told her family.
Yeah, I don't give a shit who loves who. Just pay your taxes.
Just pay your taxes and pay your taxes and practice. Practice proper gun safety and use your turn signals. I think those are good things for everyone.
Yes.
And spay and neuter your pets. So I don't know why everyone is making her choose. Because if she wants to put herself through that pressure, I understand. But everyone else needs to like back off. Because this isn't Are You the One, where they're going to lose money if they don't meet their matches. That's not how this show works. So she needs to decide or just leave to be with the person, to be with the girlfriend or the girl who she was dating that she likes.
Yeah.
So be happy. and not to be ageist, But I actually would just once like to see a season of this show where everyone is over 30. Like, just once. It would be really nice to see people who are not catastrophically terrified of jumping into a relationship.
Yeah, or having trouble committing or anything.
Or
like
anything.
That.
I would love to see it just once because it would be really refreshing to see people who are like, look, it's what I want, it's what I don't want. I don't like you after all. I thought I did. You're a cool person. I just want to see people just not freak out after like things go awry in an hour. I don't know.
You know, that'd be boring as fuck, right?
Like, yeah, you're right. It'd be a bunch of logical people.
Yeah, you could be like level-headed bachelor in paradise, and everyone's like, "How's it going?" It's all right. Like, yeah, I don't really dig you. Like, all right, and then like they just go.
Bachelor in paradise is like putting Mentos in a freaking Coke bottle. I swear, you're right. It needs to be like this. You're so right.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise it's not we wouldn't be interested in this show.
Yeah, that's correct. So there's a side clip of Tayshia just dancing, and then the camera immediately goes to JPJ being like, hell yeah.
In fact, he says that.
Yeah, he says hell yeah. Super cute. Oh, I love them. Clay and Nicole are somehow considered the strongest couple. Mm-mm. It's JPJ and Tayshia, guys.
I'm going to press X for doubt.
Press X for doubt. Achievement unlocked. Smart pinker.
Yeah.
There's Dean and Kaylin, there's Katie and Chris, there's Dylan and Hannah. Derek asks Christina if she's into Blake, and she is like, no, she just wants his rose. Okay. Christina pulls Blake aside. She has a way bigger dick than he does.
Yes.
She is tough. I like it.
Yeah.
It's so nice compared to what's usually on this show, too. Because she's like, I don't have time for these games.
No, she has no pushover.
Do you guys know who I am? I've been through this. Like, chill. So just Caitlin starts crying about Blake talking to Christina. And then Tayshia...
Yeah, literally starts crying.
Yeah, literally starts crying. And I'm like, oh my God, these people mind fuck themselves before they go on this show.
How long has it been since they met, too?
Hours.
Just a couple hours, right?
Well, hours, but I mean, they hung out at Stagecoach, and she probably didn't know about Christina, Kaylin, Hannah, and Tayshia at that time.
No, they said they didn't hang out. They said it was like a pass by.
They were
lying,
just
being though. Like, oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Social media. All proved right. Otherwise. Tayshia is calling out the bullshit once again, and Christina is basically just trying to ruin any relationship that Blake is trying to have, which, yeah, she is.
Yeah.
That's what Tayshia says.
She's totally sabotaging. It's great.
She's sabotaging, yeah. It's very strategic. And Caitlin wants to talk to Christina, and she is one of those really defensive people when Christina's just trying to find out, like, what's going on. So she's like, what's your point? Why are you checking me? Like, focus on you. And she lays the hammer down on this unknown woman. And Christina's like, go talk to Blake and not me. And Caitlin is just super threatened. She just backs down, gets super...
So she's being attacked.
She feels like she's being attacked, and she gets disgustingly defensive. Like, grow up. Christina would probably be picked over her at the end anyway, so I'll be surprised if that goes otherwise. And Caitlin's like, you're difficult to talk to because you're very heated. And I'm like, yeah, you just attacked her. What do you expect?
I'm not attacked, but, like, came with, her like, character. Came with this, like, presumption of being, like, who the fuck are you type attitude, but like just underhandingly saying that in a sense.
Yeah. And then she pulls this bullshit. She's like, you should respect women and should always respect women. First of all, every human on this planet sins. And then second of all, nobody just automatically deserves respect because of their sex or gender. Like, people have to earn it no matter what their age, creed, occupation, class, beliefs are. It has
to
be
show it
earned
to get it as well.
So you don't just respect someone just because they have the same, they're considered the same species as you. Also, in the same breath or day, calls Christina an atrocious bitch.
Yeah.
How is that respecting women, Caitlin, unknown woman from Colton season? Anyway, please get all the way bent, and I hope whatever small dog you probably have shits in your purse. actually, no, that's not very feminist because it, yeah, that idea is not feminist at all because it assumes women can never be wrong, thus isolating any other identity, and then also assuming that men are the ones who deserve to be on the receiving end of distrust inevitably. Like, that just wraps around itself in a lot of fucked up ways.
Yeah.
It's not feminist, Caitlin. Okay, so we're reminded at this point that she doesn't even know about Christina and Kaylin having a thing with Blake. So she's got drama with Christina and doesn't even know about the history.
Right, yeah. I just wish, like, Christina just said something just mm-hmm. to be like, let's clear the air. And then, like, that would have even shown, like, Caitlin, like, he never told me that.
She's doing it on purpose.
But she's doing it on purpose. Like, I'm saying, she's playing some 4D chess shit here.
She wants it to have to come from Blake game. Because she's assuming that he either told her already or if she doesn't know, she'll find out.
Yeah, she's in the long game.
Yes. We get back from the commercial. Some flirting goes on. And then the next morning, Katie, self-sabotaging Katie, my goodness. She literally turns to Chris Bukowski and says, do what you want, as she realizes girls are coming in today. This was the textbook definition of a self-fulfilling prophecy, if I have ever seen one. Like, it was sad, kind of.
Yeah, like... Once they obviously show that, you know something bad's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, some woman comes down the stairs.
Yeah, her name is Jen Saviano. I've never seen her before. She was apparently on Ben's season. And you know what? This do what you want thing reminds me of literally like being a teenager and being like, oh, have a good time, but like sarcastically. And then that's exactly what happened.
Well, it's like this passive aggressiveness. That's just like, because it came off as kind of just
false security.
Yeah. Like being like, why are you saying this? I thought we were cool.
Yeah. Like, he actually didn't want her to say that. And he was like, wait, are you really saying this? And he's not looking her in the eye. And now they have some real awkwardness between them that did not exist before this interaction.
Yeah.
These people, yeah, they are sabotaging their own relationships left and right.
I wonder why they're a bachelor and or bachelorette.
I wonder why. A bachelor in paradise, I wonder.
Self-sabotaging a lot.
Go figure.
Afraid of committing.
So Dean meets Jen Saviano and he says the creepiest thing I've ever heard. He says, it's nice to put a three-dimensional warm body to the Instagram handle, I guess. This is ruining the show. I don't want to hear about these people stalking each other before they come onto the show.
Yeah. It's
lame.
It's really weird.
Kaylin hopes that Jen doesn't take Dean away from her. And we find out that Blake was hanging out with Jen, too, apparently.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Was I in a room when that happened?
I think you were.
What the fuck?
He's so many. It feels like a joke at this point. So she pulls Blake aside first, probably not fully aware of all the drama. And she certainly will not get 100% of it from Blake. Yeah, so they talk, and then Katie apparently didn't mean what she said earlier, but she said it. And then Chris tells Katie, you know, they've started something during the commercial. They kind of spoil what happens next because they show Chris on the date with Jen.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. And Chris actually wanted to hear Katie say that she did not want him to go on the date.
Yeah, aww. But she didn't say that.
Yeah, he screwed up. So Chris and Jen go on the date. There's no chemistry. Chris vomits over the side of the boat. And when they get back, they walk past everyone really awkward. Chris takes Jen away to sip some drinks or whatever. And it's just, I felt bad for Katie because she had to watch this. And I know how that feels. It really sucks. Jen invites Chris into the hot tub. Katie pulls Derek aside and I hope they make out since Chris and Jen are now in the hot tub, but they won't. And
it's really awkward too. They're just like he's stiff around her.
He's stiff. Yeah, he's like trying to be into it, but he's not. And his body's just like shutting down. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So then Nicole serenades Clay, and I feel like this is like a Disney movie audition.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. It's not worth.
She's not a songwriter.
No. But at least she tried something and took a cue from John Paul Jones. Not a cue from Jed. Just kidding. Derek gives Katie some good advice. He says, be the reminder of why Chris came to Paradise in the first place. And he and Katie share a friend hug. Telling you, he's getting that freaking good at it, man.
Yep.
We haven't seen Mike. Where's Mike? So Katie asks Chris how his date was. And Chris, you know, he gets promptly grilled. And she's like on her questions. Sydney and Mike, speaking of Mike, they finally show up. He's on the beach with her and they're doing some acrobatics, having fun. This is really cute.
Just flirting in the sand and whatnot.
It's super cute. And then Clay and Nicole are like all together. John Paul Jones is a wild card. Katie,
he's eating tacos.
He's eating tacos. Katie points out that he is into the chocolate women. He is. They're into him back. He's eating tacos. He's laying down. Just make sure they're not spicy. Oh, my God. I think his tacos last time were just absolutely doused in hot sauce, and that was what it was. It was just choking. It was, like, drying out the back of his throat. So Hannah was standing up in the pool, as we mentioned earlier, when Dylan was wrapped around the front of her. It was funny. Derek talks to everyone on the island about his relationship trials, including the new girl, and she does not know shit. Like, this is week three. She's coming in late.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Harrison emerges from his freezer again, and he pulls Demi away to talk to her about her girlfriend back home. They, of course, decide that since Jordan has left, the best thing to do, it wasn't related to Jordan leaving, but because there's no drama, the best thing to do would be to bring Demi's girlfriend here. Chris Harrison takes off so quickly.
Oh, he just exits stage left.
He
super
exits
quickly.
Stage left as if his life depends on it. Like, he's a Yeti that has been spotted by riflemen.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, Miss Christian, Demi's girlfriend, shows up. So this is probably the first time in history the show has bent over backwards to bring a non-bachelor proximal person on in the midst of a season. There was one time where they kind of broke the rule with Ashley I. They let her sister come on, but that was the first episode. This is super strange. So Demi and Christian talk, and Christian finds out Demi has been romantic with Derek. Demi decides she's going to go talk to Derek, and she starts her breakup speech by telling him how awesome she thinks he is, and she's lucky to have met him. The same old. The regular degular.
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel bad for this guy.
I do. Me too. So she tells him that Christian is there, and she would love to pursue things with her, so they go on a one-on-one date. Nice.
Yep.
But, I mean, yeah.
But before all that...
Before all that.
It was interesting that Christian and Derek meet up and talk face to face.
Yeah, they do like a custody battle over.
Yeah, that was
Demi.
Weird because she's so tiny and they're like the same size. And so it's like, all right, mom and dad are negotiating child custody here.
Christian's a tall, strong, commanding woman. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, no wonder Demi's into her. So
she plays volleyball.
Something.
Probably.
She looks very athletic. I don't know what she plays, but she's like super athletic. So Demi walks into the pool area with Christian and Caitlin, who I've, you know, still never seen before, even though I watched whatever season she was on. And Caitlin has the nerve to say that she's not seen Christian before. And I'm like, girl, we haven't seen you before.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, since Demi is no longer playing by the rules of the game, I do hope they get to stay together, but not in the house. Like,
they need to go.
They need to go. They need to go. So I'm happy for Demi. I'm glad that she's like made this big pivotal step, but like take your love and go, because you guys are offsetting the number. If you stay coupled and have no interest, you got what you came there for, technically.
Yeah.
Technically, though.
Even though she realized what she already had.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, she still gets what she wanted because that's what, like, Christian makes her happy.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, then, like, you're off the show because you're no longer a bachelorette.
Yeah. I hope the show hooks them up with, like, a nice little villa or something, and they get to hang out, and then they get to come back.
Yeah, just do that.
Derek is being a man about this whole thing. Like, he's taking it super well.
Yeah. I use that word strictly on the basis of that, like, he is just, like, doing the right thing.
Yes, he's doing the right thing by hearing everyone out and being understanding and being patient and not taking it personally.
And that's what a man does.
And he can handle rejection with some respect on this freaking beach, unlike a lot of these people.
Yes.
So they go on the date, and Demi wants to commit to Christian. So we end the episode with Demi not knowing who Nelson Mandela is.
Yeah, that was embarrassing as fuck.
That was Hannah B. I'm sorry for making fun of you for not knowing taxation without representation. You are absolved. You can go. Please leave. Yeah, you can
Demi
take your books.
Demi has taken the crown.
Demi now has to stay in detention for not knowing who Nelson Mandela is.
Yeah. They're playing like that game where they read the name and then they stick on their forehead.
Uh-huh.
And they have to guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was this week. I think it was very Demi-centric. The entertainment is definitely sporadic. As mentioned, Tayshia and John Paul Jones were easily my highlight of this week in general.
Yes.
The crabs on the beach were number two.
Those are great.
I was going to say Chris and Katie, but Katie, dude, come on. So.
Well, for my third, I'm going to say Dylan holding on to Hannah like a little koala baby.
Like a baby koala in the pool.
Yeah.
Hannah, you better flex on that man. Anyway, do you have any other thoughts?
Not yet. I just want to continue seeing JPJ and Tayshia together, but apparently little preview had some women coming in eyeing John Paul Jones. Apparently.
I know. I am anxious to see what happens. I hope that they work it out in spite of that, because people have in the past.
Yes.
And that is how I feel as well. So I look forward to next week. Thank you guys again for joining us for another week of Bachelor Paradise Madness and Bachelor Nation news. And I hope you enjoy your weekend.
Yes. We will be back.
We'll be back in a few days.
Yeah.
And yeah. So have a good time. And bye.